Hi, Carm Capriato here, and welcome to episode 391. Only 9 more episodes until we hit the 400 Remarkable Results Radio milestone, and I thank you for helping us get there. I'm with MotorAge's Pete Meyer with a very enlightening interview we did at Apex 2018. You're going to like it. Here's a preview.
I wanted the alignment checked. I'm putting new tires on. I don't want to burn them off because the alignment's not correct. And I was waiting. This kind of a given, at least when I was in the business full time, somebody bought tires, you automatically say, well, let's do an alignment check. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely wanted that done. Never came up. I had to actually broach the topic, which kind of surprised me.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hey, welcome. Carm Capriato here. I'm so glad you're investing in these long-form interviews. The power of the spoken word that brings a form of wisdom sharing that was unprecedented in the aftermarket when we started back in March of 2015. You know, in the entire catalog, there are over 500 interviews that bring the context of the aftermarket to your academic insight. Hey, I want to thank Federal Mogul Motor Parts for their tremendous support of the aftermarket's premier podcast for the last 3 years. They deserve a ton of credit for keeping the podcast as a free resource to all aftermarket professionals. So remember, when you need to search for parts, get the latest technical updates, or sign up for the Garage Rewards and Tech Loyalty Program and earn some really cool Federal Mogul swag, go to fmmotorparts.com. And we're also celebrating the 100th episode of the Town Hall Academy on the last week of December 2018. The Academy has brought big learning moments as we tackle a trending topic live each week. There are wisdom nuggets around every corner. So if you're commuting, jogging, doing crunches, or walking the dog, I want to thank you for your support, listenership, and engagement of all the podcast shows we produce each week for you. Hey, again in December 2018, I'm giving away some podcast collector swag, a collector's coffee mug and mouse pad. Now, all you have to do is listen for the December password in this episode. Enter to win at remarkableresults.biz/SWAG. Winners will be selected the first week of January 2019. Get on board. Hey, welcome my guest, Pete Meyer, Director of Training for the UBM AdvanStar Automotive Group, which includes, of course, MotorAge magazine. Pete wrote a great article that caught my fancy, and I asked Pete if he could carve out some time to sit with me at my Apex 2018 studio and discuss it. So here we are with the backstory of Pete's article from July 2018. It was titled, When a Technician Becomes a Customer for Automotive Repair Service. Now you can only imagine the implications and ramifications this implores. When Pete needed tires for his truck, he became a customer. He was not delighted with the service he was given, and it drove him to write this article. Now he may never have written it if he had a satisfying and complete service experience. It's tough to be in this industry and not judge your own personal experiences and standards against all others and your expectations. Not only do we hear the story behind the article, but Pete has some important advice to help improve your business and the industry. Get the talking points, Pete's bios, and links to his previous episodes at remarkableresults.biz/E391. Enjoy this discussion with MotorAge's Pete Meyer. Hey, a warm welcome to Pete Meyer, technical editor from MotorAge magazine.
Morning, Carm.
Hey, Pete. Director of training. Tons of responsibility to get it right.
I try.
Good stuff you guys are doing. I subscribe to your e-stuff, and you guys are on fire with everything that you're doing to train the technician and to bring the word out to the industry.
We're blessed. Most of our contributor staff are active technicians. They're leading instructors. They're real world. And when we get to our audience, to the readers, it's one of the nicest comments that I've ever received is when readers tell us that they can read a technical article in MotorAge tonight and put it to work in the beta, help make the money tomorrow.
That's so cool.
The other thing I love about our contributors that our readers point out to us and they appreciate about the magazine is that we don't use Getty images in our technical articles.
They're all good.
Real world. These are shots of vehicles in the bays, and the readers recognize, hey, I had one of those yesterday.
Yeah.
So they know the article's real, the information is correct, it's accurate, and it's all designed, in my hope, to help technicians make a better living for their families.
So I have a question for you. I get out into the industry, and I'm talking to people. He says, hey, so what's new with you? Well, I'm
I'm trying to be a writer. I would love to get published. Do you have a lot of people that come up to you and say, Pete, could I submit something to you?
We have a few. It's interesting. Some people will say they want to write for the magazine, and they want to stress to them that we serve over 100,000 shops in the United States and figure minimum 2 texts per shop. Okay, so you're going to be putting your stuff in front of 250,000 people. Is it right? Is it accurate? And that tends to thin the herd a little bit right there.
Do you vet the final, you know,
conclusion? I review every bit of technical content that comes in. But again, I'm very fortunate in the talent that's writing for the magazine now. And you know, we've got guys like Scott Manna, John, Eric Ziegler, G. Trulia. Just everybody on the masthead who's a contributing editor is talented and experienced and beyond.
Important names in our industry.
Yep.
It's like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, man.
Again, very blessed they're taking the time to
help
me out.
So we're here at Apex, and you wrote an article back in July, and I read it because I subscribe, and I love to read your stuff. And your article was, you know, it was so perfect in describing some of the challenges we have in our industry. And it was titled, When a Technician Becomes a Customer for Automotive Service Repair. It dragged me right in. I said, oh my God, I mean, this is going to be, I thought it was going to be a classic Pete article, and it was.
Thank you.
And you ended up really describing some of the biggest challenges that we have in our industry as far as image and competence and some of the things that we're underselling or overselling. And it happened to you. And that's why the article was so, I mean, it was almost like every word was like, it had a punch to it. So I'd love you to tell a little bit of the story, and I may interrupt you every once in a while and ask some questions, but you needed tires, right?
Well, I have a shop next to my home where I do a lot of our video work and try to take care as much as possible of my own vehicle service, but I don't have a tire machine. And wasn't going to go out and buy one for 4 tires.
This would be
so.
Good.
And then one of the major manufacturers had a good deal going, and so I bought 4 tires.
Oh, wait, stop for a minute. I love this thing. So Pete goes on in the article to say it was 35% off.
Yeah, hey, I'm a consumer.
Yes, I love the fact that you were a consumer. You were drawn in by it. Okay.
So I went ahead and purchased tires online. One of their nice features was that you could make the appointment with the local store online and then just show up to have your tires installed. And that's what I did. And when I showed up in the morning, had a scheduled appointment first thing in the morning right before they opened. And I remember the days of opening the shop. And I used to really get a little perturbed when you had that guy pressing his nose against the door, waiting
he was
for
hovering.
You to turn the key to open it up. Yeah. Like, you know, hey, I'm here early. That means you have to start early. So I stayed out in the parking lot until opening time came and went and before I entered the shop. And when I presented the paperwork to the service writer, it was pretty much just, okay, take the order, print out the bare order, sign it here, and off you go. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not asking about any additional opportunities for your shop.
You were really waiting for the next step to happen.
Oh, I was absolutely there. The vehicle had been in an accident, not caused by me, by my son. I wanted the alignment checked. I'm putting new tires on. I don't want to burn them off because the alignment's not correct. And I was waiting. It's kind of a given, at least when I was in the business full-time, somebody bought tires, you automatically said, well, let's do an alignment check. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely wanted that done. Never came up. I had to actually broach the topic, which kind of surprised me.
So you were really just a transaction of the morning.
Yeah, maybe you didn't have enough coffee yet. I don't know. You know, maybe it was an off day, you know. But I guess what I wanted to point out in the article for that situation is that it's a service opportunity that could have and would have been lost to that business. Yeah, it might be a chain, but I'm thinking of all the independent shop owners that subscribe to our magazine. You know, how many lost opportunities are being lost because you're not standing behind the counter monitoring what's going on? Yeah, your service advisor may be great. Maybe his numbers are good. But is he leaving found money on the table? I mean, money that people are willing to give without being prodded, you know?
Pete, it was a big chain. We're not going to mention the name. What's ironic is that there isn't a process behind enrolling you into their work day, no matter if you bought it online, the tires are still coming from that shop, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And the schedule was made. Really cool to do it online. So you walk in the door. Where was the real proper way to bring in your vehicle and consider it safe from an alignment perspective?
Because it was a major chain, I know, having worked for major chains in the past, there is definitely a process. There is definitely a training that this is what we want you to do with every customer that comes in the door. This is what we want you to do every time you pick up the phone. This is what I want you how to answer it. This is, you know, it is there, but it's not necessarily being followed. And most of our shop owners, they also have processes in place. Some very successful, some may be struggling. And whether wherever you are in that performance range, it's still up to you to go back and check from time to time. Do that mystery shop, if you will, to make sure that your processes are being followed. I mean, we live in a new age. When you do something wrong, or your shop does something wrong, or even it's just perceived as being wrong, it doesn't actually have to be a fault. Where's it going to end up? It's going to end up in Yelp. It's going to end up in Google reviews. It's going to end up being shared digitally, and it's going to spread like wildfire.
Or written up in Motor Age to...
I wanted to share that information because it's, we talked before the show. It's kind of one of those subjects that we as an industry don't always like to talk about.
I'm talking with Jonathan Ciccelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, you're visiting shops every day, so when you put product in the hands of the technicians and service advisors, what are they saying?
Going back to Federmogul's long-term presence in the industry, they already know the product. And some of them we don't have to say much about. It's the newer product, the latest innovations that we come out with that just blow people away.
So, Jonathan, you take that brand new OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
They look at it and are kind of speechless for a couple seconds. And they just can't deny that it's an awesome-looking product. And they can't deny that it's going to work fantastic on their vehicles.
Now, another phenomenal product line that is just one of the most iconic brands in the entire industry is Moog. Now, there's a lot going on with Moog.
The newest thing with Moog is going to be, I think, the most important thing to the shops is the newer design ball joint that we created. And that was off of technicians' responses to a boot design.
That's that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot.
Absolutely. And as soon as I pull that out of a box and show a technician or a shop owner, they just were like, this is amazing.
So, Jonathan, would you say that you're a champion for Federal Mogul Motor Parts and all the premium products?
Absolutely.
And a champion for all the training?
I'm very big on training. I've always been in training since I've been in the professional field. So just to come back and support on the other end has just been an awesome experience.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Hey, Carm here. In our December swag contest, the password is wisdom. Go to remarkableresults.biz/swag. Use that password, wisdom, and enter to win a collector's coffee mug and a mouse pad. The drawing will happen in the first week of January 2019. Thanks.
When I talk to prospective clients and customers and even readers, it's been my own personal perspective, my own humble opinion, that of the market, we have 10-15% of our technicians are the stars. They are sharp. They're pursuing their education. They're constantly training. And you've seen those examples. They're here at this show doing the same thing. You see them nearly at every event because they have that hunger and that passion for what they do. And on the other end of the scale, you've got maybe another 10% on the bottom end. These are the 10% that have no clue, have no desire, don't have the capability to work on a modern automobile. They need to be gone. These are the ones that if they do work on a consumer's car, they're probably cause that 10% is probably causing 80% of our black eye. And then you have that 70-80% in the middle. That 70-80% in the middle, well-meaning, hardworking, want to be better, know they can be better, but often don't know where to get the resources to help them, or lack the ability to take advantage of those resources. And that's where I've tried to bring MotorAge into, by our online presence, our YouTube channel, our webinars, our print articles, everything that I can do to help try to help those 70-80% in the middle raise their standards.
I love it. We've been talking about this on the show for the last 2 months, and I am so glad you brought it up. So here's my question. Are you making a difference with that group in the middle?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorite stories is, and it's been a couple of years ago, but I actually did a presentation at an event, and a reader brought the magazine in just to show me. And it was a dog-eared, bent, highlighted, underlined, starred. It wasn't a magazine. It was a textbook for this individual. And I love that. And I get comments all the time from readers that say, that article helped me do this, or that article, you know, took me in this direction.
Trust me, there's enough articles in there about getting people to wake up and get to training and find themselves a better commitment. Are you getting any replies and responses that says, thanks for taking me across the line? And are you doing enough editorial on the fact that, you know, if your owner's not going to help you and he's not going to pay for training, then you need to figure out your own training pathway?
It's interesting. You know, there's a lot of discussion about the technician shortage, and a lot of shops are challenged by that. So when I meet a technician who tells me that their shop is not supporting them in their efforts to get training, won't let them take the time off, let alone assist in funding that training, then I tell them, quite frankly, there are a lot of shops that will, and they're good shops, and they will help mentor you and grow you as a technician.
So go find that.
Go find that.
And go work there.
Go work there. You know, if you have a passion to be a good technician and rise in this industry, because, you know, there's a group of young technicians. Well, to me, they're young. but now they're shop owners, and they're doing well for their family, and they're doing everything they can to do the same thing, to pass that message. Hey, it worked for me. I love this business. You can too, and here's how you can do it. And they're really helping promote that message.
Master technicians are just not going to come in Santa Claus's bag every Christmas. I mean, you're going to have to grow them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. When I have a shop owner that asks me about where can they find technicians, my very first question is, are you part of the industry advisory council of your local school? If you're not, dude, that's your home team. That's your farm team,
yeah,
right?
Oh, that is, yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
that's where you need to be active and involved. If you're not involved in that, then it's like someone who doesn't vote but complains about what happens in government. You don't have a right to complain. But the reverse side of that is when I meet instructors who tell me that they're not getting enough activity in the council. You know, I ask them, when was the last time you got out of the classroom and went shaking hands with the shops in your area?
I am on the advisory council of our local community college automotive tech program. So I wanted you to know that. I talk about that a lot because I've learned so much. In fact, the things that I've learned in the advisory council have helped steer the show in trying to get that passion word out. Okay, so you walk in at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's having a bad day, and things just didn't go the way Pete Meyer thought it would go.
Well, I actually said I had to actually ask for an alignment. And then he explained that the gentleman who does the alignment wasn't there. It's going to be a little while, but I'm going, hey, I've got my laptop. I'm perfectly fine. Sit over here in the corner. I can work. I can wait. No problem. I was your best customer. Not in a hurry, not knocking down your door saying, I need to have this done now. I'm all there for you.
And you weren't looking. The article says that I wasn't staring through the glass watching.
Wasn't hanging
work
on the glass. Wasn't staring at the end of the bay watching every move. But and then I didn't see anybody else come in, but he came back later and told me that they had checked the alignment and made a tweak to it. And wasn't going to charge me for it. And I'm like, that's interesting, you know, to perform an alignment. That's a time-involved task.
Any normal customer would say, wow, thank you.
Yeah.
But Pete Meyer had a different thought.
Yeah, Pete Meyer said, I want to see the printout of what you did. What did you adjust? He said, well, we made a small change in caster. Well, I have a Dodge truck, Ram truck. And to change that angle is not a simple matter of loosening up a lock nut and turning a tie rod. That's an involved process. So I said, well, let me see the before and after. He couldn't show me a before and after. He gave me a printout, but there's some red and green on it, but there are no numbers. He's all with a black ink as it's working. So it's just it was a lot of nonsense. You know, and because I knew what was involved in doing that kind of repair, he didn't. You're not going to change caster camber on that truck. You're not going to spend that kind of labor and not bill someone for it. I mean, especially when I asked for the job to be performed, I fully expected to pay for it. You know, there wasn't any question that there wasn't any consumer grievance that he needed to try to overcome. So it just all just didn't make any sense to me the way it was handled.
So did you go deeper?
No, not with that store. I went, by the time I, you know, got done looking at the print, I said, that's fine. I'm just going to go take it to a shop where I know.
Okay. And so you paid the bill, you went to the next shop, and then there was this great story about your son.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, it was also very unfortunate. Again, he needed some tires on his car, and he asked me to go with him. And while they were installing the tires, they asked, they did the right thing. They asked, can we do an alignment check and make sure that's okay? And it's been a while, so I said, yeah, sure. You know, go ahead and take a look at the alignment. And as we're sitting in the waiting room waiting, the technician came up and show us the printout, because I had asked, you know, let me see the before numbers and let me see the printout. And he explained to my son how he needed alignment because, these two boxes on the alignment printout were red, and red was bad. Well, I took a little closer look at the numbers. What he was showing my son was the toe angle. And if you're familiar, of course, I'm sure everybody who's listening knows what toe angle is. So I won't explain that. But it was very clear from the numbers that all he had done was turn the steering wheel to the left to put the numbers in the red on his printout. And then he wanted to come back to my son and be charging for an alignment when all he was going to have to do is straighten the wheels and put it back in the green again. You know, the total toe figure was within specification. So it was only the individual wheels that he had altered to make it, you know, look like it was out of alignment. I was livid with that. One thing that I do not tolerate, will not be a participant in, is a dishonorable way of making a living. Because when I was a technician, I worked for bosses that wanted you to do the wallet flush thing. You know, they wanted you to do whatever you could to add money to the books. And these were usually like the chain guys, because then they report to their district boss and he reports to his regional boss. And as long as the ink on the paper was black, everybody was happy, right? So anyway, before I get too far off a tangent with that.
No, but I'm glad you're off on that tangent for one reason. And Pete told me this before we went on. I left companies that promoted that.
Yeah, well, as I shared the story of when I was still working in a line in a chain store where I came into work one morning with a Ford Ranger picked up in my, or perched in my bay, and a stack of front end parts laying beside it, and my boss, my new boss, telling me that that was my first job of the day, was to rebuild the front end on this truck. And when I began to look closer at the truck, I realized there was nothing wrong with the front end of this truck. And I asked my boss, why are we replacing these bars? There's nothing wrong with the truck. What's the customer's complaint? Well, I didn't ask any of that. You know, he told me, you just need to do what I told you and put these bars in the truck. And this wasn't the first instance I'd been witness to him, but this is the first time he was involving me directly in this kind of a transaction. And I just told him straight out, I'm not doing it. I'm the one that has to go home and look in the mirror and ask myself, did I do the right thing today? And I couldn't do that if I was going to replace known good parts with known good parts. Right. It just made no sense to me. Well, he fired me on the spot. But, you know, I'm master tech. I mean, at that time, probably 30 years experience under my belt. I just looked at him. I said, I've got about a 45-minute drive home. How many stops do you think I'm going to have to make before I've got another job? I mean, I'm not. That's fine. I'm not worried about it. I don't need you. You need me a lot more than I need you.
You stood up for your principles. And, yeah. And so that when you're now out being a consumer and shopping, knowing that you're an industry advocate, that you always stand on principle, and this happened. What was your feeling when you saw this blatant?
Oh, I challenged the technician, and I pointed out to him, said, you know, I explained who I was and my experience, my credentials. I told him, said, all you did was turn the wheel to the left. This doesn't need alignment. And I insisted on talking to his boss, because if he was doing this to my son, how many other kids was he doing this? How many other women was he doing this to? With or without his boss's knowledge? I didn't know. Well, they assured me we'd be taking a look at, and I had reason to be there not too long later, and found out that both he and the service manager had been found to be selling services that were unnecessary or not being performed as sold, and they were both dismissed from their company. And I have no problem with that. I sleep just fine knowing that, because that's that 10% we talked about earlier that in my mind needs to go away, because they're infecting everybody.
You in the article, you talked about in the beginning process. The car pulls up. You were saying, "Hey, listen, if it was me, I would pull out the TPMS. I would be looking for a tread
sure.
rear review to see.
Sure.
You know, we don't want to sell you all these tires and have a problem. They never check the miles. They never check the sticker."
Yeah, I mean, when I was working, I did some time behind the desk as a service advisor, assistant store manager, that kind of thing. I preferred it in the back, so I went back to the back. But it was just standard practice. If a customer came in and said they needed tires, you want to know, okay, why do you think you need tires? You know, maybe it is tread wear, but let's go out and take a look at the vehicle. And you would walk out with that customer to the vehicle, and you would do a quick walk around. Today, TPMS, we've written in numerous articles on TPMS that you should take a tool and verify that all the sensors are working prior to you working on the vehicle. If it's not working after, you're going to be the one to blame. So if there's not one working before, it's a good time to point it out now, right? Explain that to the customer. Look at the tires. Look at the overall condition of the vehicle. Of course, you're going to check it better once you have it in the shop. But that's just a basic service right around. Like you said, get the mileage, get the VIN, start the paperwork, and bring that back into the shop. And again, four tires. If you're going to put four tires in the vehicle, it's just... let's do an alignment check and make sure that's okay.
You mentioned the TPMS, and I remember interviewing a collision guy. They're talking big in the collision business about pre-scans and post-scans.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking to a tech here just yesterday, and I can't remember how we got there, or maybe it was a shop owner who said, you know what, I think I'm going to start doing pre- and post-scans on repairs.
That's very interesting you should mention that. We just did a trainer video on pre- and post-scans on the mechanical side. Yeah, it's required by many OEMs on the collision side, mainly to control costs and increase customer satisfaction. All of these sensors, all of these equipment that's on a modern vehicle, it gets damaged in an accident that goes undetected until after the repair is completed and the car is delivered to the customer. But smart guys have been doing like the pre-scans, which all that means is you're checking every module on the vehicle when you're pulling your codes or just checking the health of the vehicle. And I think it's a great idea to do as part of a standard service. Give them a printout. Here's what the modules in your car are telling you about the state of health of the vehicle. Head off a problem. Head off a comeback.
Yeah. You know? And without a pre-scan on TPMS, you may be buying one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then when you're checking on the modules, one of the things that can come back and bite a shop in the butt is they're doing a DTC repair, a mill light on, and they don't check for pending codes. So as soon as that vehicle completes that second pass, that second test, it may be something totally unrelated to what your customer is in for, but now the light's back on, and all the customer knows is, I just paid to have that turned off. So this is a good way to head that off. And then the backside of that is, and I stressed in the video, if you're going to repair some type of DTC in any of the modules, your repair is not successful unless you've met this requirements for that module and that module's test. That becomes your customer. And the only way you're going to find that out is to perform the drive cycles and do that after repair scan and make sure it's clear.
Such great advice. Ironically, I can't believe I just brought that up and you've done a video on that. So do you know if there's enough shop owners having their shop shopped and ideas of how they could do it?
Their shops are being shopped every day. You know, people are looking for something even as minor as for us as an oil change are looking at their online reviews. I mean, that's how people are choosing who to do business with now. That's just the reality.
That's a logic conclusion that you've got to manage and maintain your online presence.
Yeah.
People say. But would you say to a friend that you met was never a customer, hey, listen, I'll pay for everything. I want you to go in and experience my shop. And then we're going to have coffee later in the day. Tell me how your experience went. Would that be something?
I think that's not a bad idea. I think sometimes even if you're a multi-shop owner, it's easy enough to have someone on your staff go in, even if it's just a phone shop. You know, you get on the phone, say how your service advisor is responding to the phone call. You know, if it's a, hey, good afternoon, it's a great day at Ted's Auto Repair. What can I help you with? You know, or is it, yeah, what can I do for you? You know what I mean? It all starts right there. It's that, you know, they say you can't judge a book by its cover, but people absolutely do. You know, it's all that first few minutes of that customer interaction. Are you going to establish that trust in that first few minutes? Or are you going to have to try to build that back up because you blew it in the first few minutes? And in terms of what's actually going on in your shop, Yeah, that's more of a challenge, because the guys who are not doing it right, and especially those who are doing it sneaky, for lack of a better word, it takes some effort to root that out, but you have to watch your trends. One of the keys for me when I was overseeing a shop was, do I have a technician who's consistently blowing flat rate out of the water? You know, if he's tracking 250, 300% against a book time, something's wrong. Nobody is that fast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's one of those little red flags. And I'd say for shop owners or shop managers, the key to them is the training of their own. You know, seeking out some of the great management trainers that are out here in the business. You know them. And learn from them. Learn, because they've been there, done that, and they know the mistakes. They can help you catch
those
issues.
Be a perpetual student, both at the technician level, the service advisor level. The point is that if we're constantly in the training mode and we believe we're perpetual students and we learn something new, well, I think that's the gap in doing it right for the customer and having integrity and building trust and holding relationships. It ends up becoming part of the culture of the company.
Yeah.
And when you shop yourself, you're testing your culture.
Yeah, yeah. And I do want to interject something here, too, because there are circumstances arise. Maybe the technician that is starting to falter, you know, kind of go off the course, has issues. Maybe there's something going on at home. Maybe he's facing some personal challenges that's affecting his work. You know, I'm not saying that just because you find a situation that's not in line with your process to go out and take him outside and beat him with a ball bat. You know what I mean?
Right.
When I was a manager, I had what I called the three-strike rule. You know, if you make a mistake, you go outside of our policies and processes, or you do something that's just plain out wrong, the very first thing we're going to do is sit down and talk about it. You know, tell me why. And if I think it's, you know, a sincere situation, the first thing I'm thinking about is maybe I didn't train you properly or provide you with the training resources that you need to do the job I'm asking you to do. And that's what we're going to fix on that first visit. We're going to make sure you have that. Now, and at the end of conversation, I tell them, if we have to talk about this again, then we're both going to understand that it's not going to be my fault anymore. You knew, you had the information and training, and then it's on you. Okay, so we're not going to have this conversation again. If in the event you do have to have that second conversation, it's very easy to say, we had this conversation. I'm just letting you know today that this is the last time we're going to have this conversation. If we have to sit down for a third time on the same thing, it's going to be to process you out of here.
You'll absolutely know what's going to happen
right
on that third visit.
And I haven't had to do that very often, but I never had any kind of pang of guilt because I didn't do what I could to help that employee or that technician be better at what they do.
No one should ever be surprised. And I love your three-strike rule, or your three, what would you call it again?
I used to call it the three-strike rule.
All right, three-strike rule. And what I loved about your first sit-down, you took ownership.
Oh, yeah.
You took responsibility right out of the chutes. I must have made a mistake in training you.
Yeah.
And maybe you didn't. But you're going to say, okay.
You give the man a benefit
of the
doubt. Maybe you didn't understand what I was trying to tell you. Maybe you didn't understand the materials I gave to you. We're going to fix that. You know, let's go through it, fix it.
Let's do a show or write a follow-up article on some shop owners that went out, shopped their place, you know, not on the phone, but I mean, literally had someone go in to visit a shop, one of their shops or their shop, and, you know, pretty much coached them as to, you know, going in there with a legitimate issue. Hey, maybe he really needed an alignment in tires. Mm-hmm. Invest in the $600 or $700 to find out and get this person to, you know, totally come clean and tell you everything that happened. I can't imagine that $500, $600, $700, whatever the investment was, even if it was for an oil change, it's got to be worth 10 times that amount over the life of the business and the changes that can be made, or the high fives to the team for passing such a great test.
Yeah, I don't think you have to spend a lot of money to do the mystery shopping of your own business. I mean, in this instance, for example, he missed the boat right from the very get-go. I'm a customer that came in looking for tires. He didn't come out to the vehicle. He didn't check the tire size to make sure that it was the right size tire for the vehicle that I had ordered.
Yeah.
He didn't come out to check the TPMS sensors. He didn't come out and get the mileage. There were so many didn'ts in that process that it was kind of obvious that he wasn't following the process that chain absolutely wants him to follow. I would also challenge shop owners, ask a female to help you do that. That's still something that's a challenge in our business, unfortunately. You hear it all the time. Ladies complaining online that they were treated poorly or as second-class customers because simply for the fact that they were ladies.
Pete, when is the industry going to wake up and realize that 60 to 70% of our client base is women?
A lot of things that we look at that we would like to see change in our industry are also caused by some of the things that make our industry great. We have independent shop owners, and they're independent because they took they had the guts to go out and make it on their own. They have that entrepreneurial spirit. They did it on their terms, and they don't like to be told what to do. They want to do it the way they want to do it, and they are hanging on. For a lot of them, the older shop owners and technicians, they're holding on to what they know from their own experiences, right? So that's kind of a hard road to hoe sometimes.
You're right.
But it is changing. We have some great examples of that, and you've interviewed a number of them.
I know.
So it is changing.
I'm so proud of the people that have come on and shared their success stories and how they've overcome a lot and how they've changed their businesses and grew and built great cultures.
Exciting time
business.
To be in the auto industry.
Yeah. No doubt it is. Do me a favor. Do a follow-up article. If someone says, hey, listen, I took up your idea, Pete, of shopping myself, you can do a part two on your story. I think it would be so interesting to follow up.
Well, then we have to get your listeners' help there, Carm. It's like if you are a shop owner and you're listening to this podcast and you took this to heart and you did some mystery shopping of your own,
Send it to me, Carm@remarkableresults.biz or
Pete.Meyer, M-E-I-E-R, at UBM, that's uniformboymichael.com.
Uniformboymichael.
Yeah.
Boy, no, bravo. See, you had to be in the Army, were you?
No.
Okay.
I was...
Uniform, bravo, Mike, right?
Mike, yeah. I used to know that from the days when I was flying, but...
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, look, thanks for all you do in our industry and how you pull these techs together to write articles for you and all the contributions you make to MotorAge to get the really good content done. So thanks so much.
Well, it's like I've always said before, I don't consider myself like a top tech or anything like that. You know, I'm an average tech, but I'm blessed because I have some really great people who are helping me help folks out in the industry.
Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks, Carm.
Hey, thank you, Pete Meyer, for sharing your firsthand experience that not many of us ever get a chance to have. Training and customer service really goes hand in hand and are the foundation for revenue and team growth. The episode's key talking points can be found at remarkableresults.biz/E391. Hey, thanks for finding the time to listen and learn with the best context in the aftermarket. Real-time stories equate to real-time emotions. No filters here on Remarkable Results Radio. Hey, enjoy the day.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.